If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
An Erio's original.
Would you run away if I showed you pictures of my doo-doo-doo-doo? Would it be okay if I showed you pictures of my doo-doo-doo-doo-doo?
Hi, this is Margaret Cho. You're listening to The Margaret Cho. Today we have our favorite guest, as always, Brent Weinbach. It's a good one. It's a good one. You will enjoy. Thanks for listening.
It's taking over my dreams, waking me out of my sleep. I think I'm coming apart.
How's it going?
It's going all right. You know, just, been keeping busy with different things at home, you know, podcasting and making some little videos here and there and playing some games and so on and so forth.
Do you play the board games?
I do some board games, do some board games with some friends in this format, and also format being at home alone, and some video games as well.
What video games do you play?
Well, I've been playing a game called Downwell recently. It's a little guy who goes down through a well and he tries to get to the bottom.
I don't play any video games. Well, the only video game I've ever played with any kind of proficiency would be Frogger, which is where a frog crosses the street.
It's funny. That sounds as simple of a concept as Downwell, doesn't it? You know, frog needs to cross the street. But I guess the frog is also crossing a lake, too, or a river at one point, too, you know, jumping on the logs.
It crosses some rivers and very fast-moving canals, and it's pretty stressful, I think.
Yeah, well, certainly, yeah. You were good at that.
I was as good as you can be. I mean, you know, you would catch, like, a boat, and sometimes you would get across a river that way, and sometimes you could get across you could get on a truck and then cross the street that way.
Did you play in the arcade?
Yeah.
Did you ever have a high score or anything like that?
I would do okay. I could play for a number of minutes.
Okay.
So that would be enough to, I think, maybe go a couple of screens, you know, because you could advance a few screens up. So I'm not a particularly high score, but you would go a few minutes, yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Frogger is a classic.
It's a classic. It's a stressful one, though, because it's kind of, it's not one that's like very deep space. It's one of those ones, it's a very like limited one. It's like an 8-bit, you know, it's like really like primitive computer.
Certainly. It's visuals, it's an earlier video game. Yeah, definitely. It's a second generation game.
Yeah. So
first generation being very basic, you know, Pong style stuff, you know, Pong, that's first generation. And then second generation being games like Frogger and Pac-Man and stuff, you know,
Like Space Invaders or Space Invaders. Space Invaders first.
No, Space Invaders, I think it'd be second generation as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
So second.
Would third be like Centipede?
No, Centipede would also be second as well. Third would be Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Okay. Or, Legend of Zelda, you know, that'd be third.
Okay.
But,
Asteroids?
Asteroids would be second as well. Yeah. A lot of those Atari games, I mean, Atari is second generation, and a lot of those arcade games around in the late 70s and, you know, early 80s, that's second generation, yeah.
So those seem advanced to me.
Yeah.
Like, second generation, that to me, that feels like, oh, that's too rich for my blood.
Right, that's how I feel about a lot of modern games now, even though Downwell is a new game, that is a modern game, but it's kind of got an older feel about it. But yeah, basically games from that came out from 1995, 96 and on, that's to me new. That seems new to me. And it's a lot of times too much for me too. Yeah.
Well, yeah, somebody, the last game I tried to play was Myst.
Oh yeah.
And I was
I like it.
Ain't nothing happened in this game.
I liked Myst. I played that when it around the time it was new, around 94 or whatever, and that was I liked Myst. I liked Myst. There wasn't
ain't nothing happened in this game.
I mean, I could see that being a response though, because it's a slower paced game, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, no, like what was supposed to happen in that game?
Well, you kind of have to just figure stuff out. But I like your attitude about it. They're like, what's supposed to happen in this game? What you supposed to do in this game? Nothing happening in this game.
I'm like, I'm in this game.
I'm just sitting here right here. What's gonna happen in this game?
I go, ain't nobody coming up in this game.
Ain't nobody coming up in here. I ain't playing up in here.
Who's supposed to come up in this game?
I like how that's the personality that comes out when you play Myst, you know?
I know. Well, I was like, who's supposed to come up in this game? Nobody coming up in this game. nobody had come up over in this game. And I didn't understand. Like, I just put it in, and then it was just a rock and some castles.
Yeah.
And I was just waiting.
Sure, and nothing was coming up in the game. Yeah, I mean, the game probably takes a little more patience and a little bit more. It's a more reflective kind of game, I think. Yeah.
Is there a castle? What is there a castle? Who?
They're not really castles, but they're structures. Yeah. This guy built this island, I guess, and well, it's a mystery what happened on the island. Something went down on the island and the surrounding islands, and. Mm-hmm. You have to figure out what happened, but really what it is you're figuring out how to manipulate the devices that are involved in the island and stuff. So that's, it's kind of a puzzle game, kind of, you know.
Okay. See,
Right. No, I hear you. I mean, look, I'm that way about like a lot of, you know, modern games, 3D games, you know, when there's all these options and stuff and the controls are really complicated. Those games are too much. To me, I'm on those games because I can't really, it's too overwhelming. It's too much, you know, and it, also it's too realistic too. I like stuff that looks more, you know, fantastical, video game-like.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think it's wonderful that people have the imagination to do those kinds of things, or the game that, like, you know, would be inspired by that kind of stuff. I don't know. Do you like VR games?
Well, no, I mean, not, I mean, I, for small periods of time, I can appreciate being in a VR experience, but I mean, I'm not really, no, I mean, 3D worlds and stuff are just too much for me, you know?
Yeah, I was at a VR concert with Joan Jett I mean, I wasn't at the concert. I would just had a VR headset on, and it was like your Joan Jett's guitar tech.
Uh-huh.
And you're just standing there next to Joan Jett, waiting for her to break a string.
When was this?
Probably 2014, 2015,
so
something like that.
Was Joan Jett, so she was there?
No, it was, I think I was at the Castro Theater or something, and then her, one of her, somebody who works with her brought over this thing that they were working on.
Okay, so it was
like
a...
was the virtual reality.
It was
experience.
A simulation or something like that to,
yeah.
To be her guitar tech.
Yeah. Well, no, it was, that's what it felt like.
Oh, yeah.
But
okay.
that's kind of like, they were working on a thing of like, okay, well, the VR, the technology is like, this is what it's going to be like to be at a concert with Joan Jett, you know, but I think it doesn't work like, I don't think that that's actually going to be, something that makes sense, you know, VR doesn't really work if you're in a concert with the artist on stage with the artist, because it doesn't seem like you're at the concert with the artist. If you're in the VR experience, you just feel like you're a guitar tech or
uh-huh.
something.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I see. You know? Yeah. It's too close to the action.
It's too close to the action. You don't have a real perspective on it.
Well, I mean, what if they just made you far away, you know, like in the VR experience, you know, they just set you back. And they even put a delay on the music so that you're not hearing it because you're so far back, you know? And maybe
you're so far back.
Yeah, maybe you need virtual binoculars or something that you can either turn on or off to get closer views. And then make it feel like you're there, you know? Or make it feel like you're further away. Create that distance.
That you're further away so that you're slightly behind, like you're in the balcony or mm-hmm. something. I don't know exactly, like...
Maybe people create people talking and stuff so that you can't hear it as well, and you kind of have to...
have a distraction.
Yeah, you gotta, yeah.
And then there's, like, popcorn crunching under your feet, or it's a little bit sticky.
Yeah, it's sticky, yeah. You might have to add that yourself, yeah. You might have to add something sticky under your actual real foot so that it feels like you're... you have to pour some kind of, like, sticky thing, you know? I don't know.
And somebody singing right behind your ear.
Yeah.
Like,
you get people...
somebody
like,
singing the song. In Tokyo, there was a VR amusement park that I didn't go to, but I was thinking like, oh, that would probably be good because you would get in like a VR ride and you could kind of play with the components, but the ride wasn't like huge. It was just like move you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the ride was happening in the headset and the VR, like around your eyes.
Yeah.
I thought that was an interesting thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some kind of fun, interesting experiences doing VR stuff, but I mean, it's okay.
Yeah. Do you ever do an escape room? I don't like escape rooms.
Oh, I've done over 50 of them.
What?
I've done around 50 escape rooms, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You know why?
What?
You know why? Because they're kind of like point-and-click adventure games, you know, computer games, but real life. But the thing I don't like about escape rooms is the time. There's usually a time limit. You only have an hour. I want to spend hours in there and take my time. I don't want to rush through things. I want to savor the experience and just go through it at my, you know, at my own pace, you know?
Isn't it stressful?
Well, yeah. I mean, a little bit. Not really. I mean, it can be. I mean, it's not stressful in the sense of I don't feel trapped or anything like that. But
mm-hmm.
Have you done one?
Never.
Oh, it's not like you get trapped in the room or anything. I mean, you can leave the room if you want to, but they don't, you know, the idea is you're trapped in the room, but you don't have to be. No, it's a very immersive experience. And if you like to try to figure out puzzles and stuff like that, which I do like to do that, you know, it's a fun experience. And actually, my friend's friend created an escape room to do online that you can do like this, do it remotely.
Mm.
So, and my friends and I did it recently.
Oh, wow. So what is the hardest one, do you think?
The hardest one?
Or like the...
I mean, the...
What is the hardest approach to it, do you think? Like, what is a not obvious exit?
What makes a room hard is when they make the... if they make what you, if what you have to do is not very clear at all, and it's maybe kind of arbitrary that you have to do something to trigger something in the room, you know, basically I would say the hardest rooms are the ones that are maybe not the best designed rooms, you know. A good design, a well-designed room is going to have kind of logical reasoning involved where, okay, we have to do this to do that, or I got to figure this out to do this, and it's all kind of pretty clear, and maybe it's kind of more linear, maybe, you know, but, or I don't know, but anyway, also a good room to me doesn't make you do busy work and doesn't make you have to solve math worksheets, which some escape rooms have math worksheets basically that you have to do, or like word work. They basically make you do worksheets, the kind of worksheets you would do in elementary school. Those are bad rooms, I think. Good rooms, you know, have you use the environment in a cool way, and it's much more like a point and click adventure computer game. But bad rooms have you kind of just getting these codes and putting codes into locks and stuff, and it gets kind of boring. But anyway.
Oh. I didn't realize it was so literal. Like, it would actually be like solving math problems to get out.
Well, no, some of them are. Some of them are. But that's not.
That's interesting.
Those are not good rooms, though. The good rooms don't make you solve math problems to get out of the room.
So it wouldn't necessarily be like a haunted house either.
Well, no. I mean, but there are, you know, scary themed rooms. And some of them are really scary, actually. Actually, one time. Mm-hmm. I mean, one time I went to a room with somebody and they started crying because they were so scared.
Really?
I mean, it was like a haunted house. It was like a haunted house. There's stuff moving and stuff, and the you know, furniture was moving, and there's, I don't know, the theme was scary. There's some scary stuff, and I mean, there's some very scary stuff in escape rooms. In fact, I've done a few escape rooms by myself before.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't done any scary themed ones by myself, and I wouldn't because I don't like to be scared.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like. Do you like going to haunted houses?
I do. It depends. I think like I wouldn't like going by myself, but I'm not opposed to going. But I don't think that I could go by myself and do an escape room. Like I think it the combination of like being alone. And then also having to solve it because I get flustered really fast. So it would be hard to come up with things like answers while you're stressed.
Do you like horror movies?
Yes.
I mean, I don't really like horror movies because I don't like being scared.
Oh, really? I do like being scared. I think because there's some sort of relief about it because I think like I have I do have some sort of like a stress disorder where I think about like I have like anxiety disorder or something. I have like I'm an anxious person. So that when I'm watching stressful situations, I don't have to imagine them. You know?
Uh-huh.
So when I watch somebody that's like in a lot of peril, then I'm like, "Oh, thank God." Because I don't have to imagine what's happening. They're already going through it. So it's like, "Oh, thank God I'm I don't have to worry." Like, I like true crime because the worst thing has already happened. So I'm like, okay, I'm relieved because it's like the tension of the suspense is like it's relieved. So I like to watch like the sort of postmortem or like an aftermath of a crime because the worst is over.
Right, but in a horror movie though, the worst is not over. I mean, until a certain point in the movie. But I mean, you know, at a certain before that part, before the worst does happen, are you kind of stressed out about that?
Yeah, but it's like it's almost as if.
But you're kind of a masochist, though.
Yeah, it's already set up to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, well, this is a situation where it's going to happen. So I'm sort of like. I'm like a masochist. I like an Indian, like, well, I don't like that term. It's not that's a racist term.
Indian burn?
You know, when they, you know, I don't know why they call
no,
it an Indian
actually,
burn.
I don't think that, I thought that felt good always. And
yeah,
I
like that.
And I would say that I'm not a masochist, but I don't think it was painful, though. I don't think it hurt when they gave me the burn, or whatever you want to call it, the Native American burn. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know, or whatever you want to call it.
Is it a racist? I think it's racist.
I mean, I guess to say Indian burn does sound kind of weird, definitely. But that's what it was called when I was a kid, you know? And so I don't know what you'd call that. I guess you can call it an arm twister. I don't know. A skin twist.
I don't know.
But I always thought it felt good, though.
Yeah, I like it.
I thought it felt good, but I don't think it felt painful, you know?
No, it's not a painful thing. I like that. I like a kind of attention, and I like a kind of strong sensation. So, but I like horror movies because I like that feeling of like it's coming in the mail or whatever. Like I like that's like
anticipation.
Like anticipation of like when you're about to get shot with a rubber band.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't like that, actually, because I don't like to be on edge, I guess, you know?
Yeah. It's a particular feeling.
It's funny. This is the exact opposite of, well, kind of the exact opposite of Mist in a way, because Mist, you can take your time and just, you know, you can take all the time you want to just sort of sit there and just sort of slowly figure things out. But the rubber band about to snap into your face?
Yeah.
That's a different story.
Yeah, because the rubber band, you don't have time.
yeah, no, you don't have time. You don't have any time. That's like an escape room. I mean, kind of, but I don't know. Escape rooms are fun.
Escape room, you have like 60 minutes. Did you go to the one on Hollywood Boulevard that's like the escape hotel?
I've been there once. It's all right. It's okay. I mean,
that's the only one that I've seen.
The best escape room company is called 60 Out, and there's a location on Melrose that has a couple really good rooms there, and they have a location in Marina Del Rey as well that has some good rooms there too. 60 Out, that's the good company, and also Maze Rooms does some pretty good rooms as well. But anyway,
Is there one that's like world famous? That's like the one that is the one that you would like to go to in all of the world?
No, I don't know anything about that. Although escape rooms started to become first popular, I think in Russia and Hungary and Japan. I think those were kind of where they started. But no, I don't know of any special rooms that actually there's some really these aren't escape rooms, but there's really hardcore immersive haunted houses. And I'm very much not interested because I don't even like to go to regular haunted house. But have you ever heard of McCamey's Manor in San Diego?
Yeah. Yeah. The one that you pay for with dog food.
Yes. Right. Exactly. Do you know the details of that one? It's really hardcore.
I know that he hasn't been able to get anybody to go all the way through.
Right.
And that it's something that he kind of tailors it to you, doesn't he? Sort of like kind of.
I mean, I don't really know. I just knew that it was hardcore and they can touch you, you know, which, you know, most haunted houses, they can't touch you. But so you get physically, you know, you get physical in it and it's just super hardcore. And then actually, I think it's 8 hours long or something like that, the haunted house that he has. And it's just straight up, they just torture you. They do waterboarding and they put you in a coffin for a certain amount of time. They put you in a really cold area, and they put you in a really hot area, and I think they make you eat worms or something like that, or dirt and worms or something. I mean, it's just really crazy, and there was a period where I just went down a rabbit hole of just looking up a bunch of stuff about that McCamey's Manor and people's experience about it. And yeah, I do think that he softens it for some people and makes it more hardcore for other people, because there were these guys who were thrill seekers who were really hardcore guys and they couldn't make it through and they're crying and stuff. And it's, I don't know, it's just really interesting and just weird that people want to do this, actually.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I think it's weird that he wants to just charge dog food.
Well, it's kind of like he's into it, right? He wants to. It's like he might as well just make it free. But he's like,
yeah,
it's weird. Yeah,
it's super weird. I think that one of the things too is that you wear a onesie.
Oh, really?
Going through? Yeah, like so you wear like a zipper onesie,
yeah,
like a pajama. But yeah, I don't want to do that one. I don't really know. I would do pretty much anyone. There was one that I really didn't like. It was actually at a Madame Tussauds in London.
Oh.
And it was in their Chamber of Horrors. And it was like kind of off brand because it was not part of their like regular Chamber of Horrors. It was their wax museum, but it was their like off brand Chamber of Horrors. Mm-hmm. So it was like a bunch of actors, and it was all dudes, and they were in like kind of costumes, and they were down in the Chamber of Horrors, and it was me and a bunch of girls that I didn't know, and we were walking through.
Wait, what were you doing? What were you doing with the girls, or how did you not?
We didn't know them, but we were just walking down.
They paired you up with them.
Yeah, we just happened to be walking down there. I didn't know them.
But you knew someone.
Oh, yeah. I was there with my husband at the time.
Okay.
And we were just walking down. But the girls were so scared that they just grabbed my husband because he was the closest man.
Yeah.
And they grabbed onto me just because we were the closest people.
I've done that before, too. I've grabbed onto... I remember when I was a kid, I went to a haunted house, and I didn't even know the guy. I went in with a couple other guys that were a little older. I didn't even know them, but I started grabbing on them because I was scared. I think they were scared too, and I think they don't mind that because it's like it is scary.
Because people are so scared, you just grab anybody because it's that human like response.
Yeah,
to just grab anybody that's close by that seems like they might be safe. It was a bunch of dudes who were like grabbing onto us, and they all had like different costumes and like the hockey mask like Jason, you know, and they were just huge and they were just grabbing us, and it was really scary. It was like an energy that was very unhinged.
Well, yeah, I mean,
was not cool.
Well, there's a lot. This is why I don't go to haunted houses, because there's a lot going on. I mean, obviously I'm not scared of ghosts or anything like that. I don't believe in ghosts, but it's or whatever, or monsters and stuff, but you know, they invade your space, right? That causes a chemical reaction in your body that doesn't feel good, you know, or at least to me it doesn't. And it's not just popping out and scaring you and that shock aspect of it. It's that they invade your space and they don't leave that space either. They'll stay in your space and keep harassing you. And there's something that's just really disturbing about that chemically, I think, in your body. It's like, you know, right. I know it's just some actor just messing around, but my body doesn't like it. My chemistry doesn't like that, though, you know?
Right.
And
but it's also the the lawlessness of being able to get in your space. That kind of, like, the edge of, like, if I'm allowed to do that, what else can I do?
Well, it's like, I know that in most of these places, they can't touch you, you know? So I'm thinking, okay, I know they're not going to touch me, but it doesn't even matter. Even if they don't touch me, just getting up in my area, my space, is still causes a reaction in my body that it doesn't like that, you know? And also, not to mention, there's a lot of sort of disturbing dark imagery as well, you know? That's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Like when they have the strobe light going, oh, that's so disturbing, you know?
Yeah. Like it does something with your brain chemistry.
Yeah.
Like you could have like a seizure or something.
Yeah, it's scary. It's disturbing. It's just, anyway, I remember I hadn't gone to a haunted house since I was 15. Because when I went when I was 15, I said, I'm never going to a haunted house again. I don't like this. And I decided when I was 29 to go again, I thought, you know what? It's been about 15 years. Let's see what it's like. I went, and a third of the way through, I wanted out. I just wanted to get, I was like, is there an emergency exit or something? I just don't want to be here right now, you know? And
oh, no.
So I went through the whole thing, but I just, I said never again. I was disturbed for, I feel like 24 hours afterwards. It was just, again, this chemical reaction. Not that I'm scared of monsters or anything, but just my body chemistry didn't like that experience.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to get over it.
It takes a second, like, because it just, your body has to sort of relax from it, you know?
Yeah.
And it just, it's that adrenaline and it's that fight or flight. Was there anything that you saw that sort of triggered it or just
no, it's not that. It's just the act of somebody. Look, I actually had this idea for a haunted house that's not even, I think you could do a haunted house and not even have monsters or ghouls or whatever. If you just had people in there that were invading your space, that would be just as disturbing, I think, you know? If you had just people, if you went into a house and it was just random people that were just getting in your space and kind of saying things to you, and, you know, that would be just as scary, you know, like it would be just as disturbing, I think, you know?
Yeah, that would be true. I mean, especially now.
Well, I have this idea for, if I had the money to finance this, I would do this. I want to make my own haunted house for Halloween, but it's not a haunted house. It's gangster. Okay, this is what I was thinking. It's gangsters. Okay, so you go, it's a gangster house. So you go in and there's different gangsters that come up to you and they threaten you and stuff. Obviously, they don't touch you. They can't touch you, but they threaten you and they kind of, you know, they just act really hardcore and get in your space. It's all gangsters. Mm. That would be, I think, scarier than a ghost house or whatever, you know? But the reason I thought of that was because when gangsters go into haunted houses, do the actors back off a little bit? You know what I mean? I mean, I've always wondered, you know, are they being as forthcoming with getting in your face with a kind of a tough-looking thug as they would, say, me or maybe you or whatever? But well, maybe not you, because you're kind of a tough-looking thug a little bit. But no, just kidding. And then I've wondered if they have been kind of, you know, if they have been kind of forthcoming with being, or maybe been aggressive with the way that they're trying to scare somebody, and it is a gangster. I wonder if that gangster has ever reacted in a physical way, and like, you know, if some guy's coming up to a gangster and trying to scare him, is the gangster just being like, you know, does he slap him? I mean, I wonder if that's ever happened, if the fights have broken out at haunted houses because people were kind of being aggressive towards each other in a weird way or something. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so...
Oh, yeah.
I just was wondering about that, you know?
You know that probably would happen. You know. Or like... Yeah. Somebody's going to get punched.
That's what I'm wondering, you know? And I'm wondering if somebody gets in your face, and even myself, right? If somebody's getting in my face and it's a haunted house and I just decide to push them away, I mean, what happens there? Do I get kicked out of the room or what's up? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe so. But I mean, yeah, anyway, I don't know. Anyway.
I think the one haunted house that I wanted to go to that I never went to, that my friends put together an existential haunted house.
Oh.
Which was interesting to me, but I always wondered what that would even entail or what it would even look like. Because it wasn't like scary clowns and there was no blood and it wasn't sort of what we think of. Like there was like no goth or heavy metal or Saw or chains or anything like that. No Pennywise.
Yeah, what did they, what happened? You don't know what happens though, huh?
No, it was just very, maybe it was all like white or blank or minimalism.
I think if you're alone in a room, if you're by yourself in a white room, that'd be kind of scary anyway.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. Being by yourself in an environment that you're not familiar with and something scary could happen, that's scary. I think by yourself is scary. Even the escape rooms that I've done by myself, and I've done three, I think, the ones I did were kind of more comedic themed, you know, they weren't scary. And even Ooh. Those were a little, just a tiny bit kind of scary, just being by yourself in the room.
Ooh.
But not that scary. Ooh.
But I guess the solitude of it.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that you're just kind of alone doing it. That's what I think, like, there's that torture method that's the white torture, where they put you in a white room and all the clothes you're in are white. And all the food you get is white.
Oh.
And I think all the liquid is white. Like, you just get milk to drink. And everything is white.
Huh.
Like, you get, like, white rice. And everything is white.
Oh, that's interesting. How is that torture, though? Just out of curiosity. It sounds like heaven. You know what I mean? I mean, it sounds like what you would think would heaven would be is all white stuff. I mean, you know what I mean? The depictions of heaven's all, everything's white, you know?
Everything's white. I think that after, like, a period of time, it starts to make you really crazy, like the absence of color.
That's really interesting. I don't think I would mind so much. I mean, I wouldn't want to drink regular milk, but if it was coconut milk and it was unsweetened,
might be good.
I love that. I love coconut milk.
Yeah, I do. Coconut milk is good.
Coconut milk is, I mean, that to me is a, like drinking a cloud.
It is delicious. That would be nice.
So
that wouldn't be like an escape room. Then you wouldn't need to escape from that.
Do you think that someone would feel tortured if everything was pink? Actually, come to think of it, sometimes people's houses are all white. Well, I guess the food's not all white, but.
Well, look at this pink. Do you see this pink?
Yeah, well, that's what I was kind of gonna try to get to. Is like, yeah, you got the pink piano, you know.
The pink piano. Let's see.
Oh, the pink piano.
Sounds. You could try to do this a little bit of a lesson.
Okay, so you want
now,
me? Should I get on my keyboard here?
Yeah, get on your keyboard.
Okay, so hi, this is Brent, and I'm playing piano. Okay. Okay, so that's me.
Your piano sounds great.
Oh, you think it sounds good? Anyway, so what do you want to learn? You want a little piano lesson?
Yes.
Okay, so what do you want to learn how to play?
Do you want Linus and Lucy? Huh?
Linus and Lucy or something like that? Or?
Yes. Da, na, 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 na,
okay, so
na,
you basically na, na, na. Just go like this. You go. So, you basically just, you know, work on that, you know, for about 5 minutes a day, and then, you know, you should be able to have it down.
What is it?
You got it. I think you were doing it just now. And then you also can do this part, too. Yeah. Or I'm kind of messing that up. It's basically just a D flat. It's a D flat, like, kind of chord. Yeah. It's just basically D flat to E flat. Yeah. So that's basically Linus and Lucy. It's that easy. Now, another good song people can learn when they want to, like, get good at maybe playing jazz is Autumn is the song Autumn Leaves. Because
yes.
Autumn Leaves has it has a 2-5-1, a good example of a 2-5-1 chord progression, mm-hmm. which is a very common chord progression in jazz. And it's it also has a minor 2-5-1, which is also pretty common in jazz as well. So you've got, so Autumn Leaves, you know, it goes like. And so you get your major and your minor 2-5-1s all in that, just that one phrase, and it's that easy.
It's so easy.
Yeah. So, you know, you get your 2-5-1 like this, it goes, right? That's a 2-5-1. 2-5-1. you have a 2-5-1. That's a minor 2-5-1. So you're really learning about 2-5-1s here, which is really just all jazz right there. That's what jazz is all about, is the 2-5-1.
I see.
Then you can change up the rhythm and you go. So now you do it.
Okay.
Oh, good. Yeah, just keep practicing, you know, and you eventually will get those 2-5-1s down, you know.
Got to memorize
those 2-5-1s, you know.
It's so good. I love your piano.
Oh, this is
I want to hear. Will you play my doo doo doo?
Oh, my doo doo. Oh yeah, that Did I do that at the show that we did?
Yeah, that was such a good song.
So that one goes a little something like this. It's like, how's it go? Sitting in the bathroom all night, suddenly something came out of me. Turned around to my delight, was a masterpiece. Yeah. Got out my camera fast to make the moment last. A moment I could share with someone special, someone rare. Something like that. And then it's, would you run away if I showed you pictures of my doo 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 doo? Would it be okay if I showed you pictures of my doo doo doo? Would it be okay if I showed you pictures of my doo doo doo? Would it be okay if I showed you pictures of my doo 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 doo? Just what did I eat that made me squeeze out such a treat? I bet you'd like to know. That actually kind of doesn't use 2-5-1s, actually.
That's a beautiful song.
Thanks.
Thank you, Brent.
Thanks. I mean, you know, it's a little something. You
thank
know.
You.
Oh, I mean, you're welcome.
Well, thank you for our lesson and thank you for our episode.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just keep practicing, you know. You just got to keep practicing those just keep practicing those notes that you learned to learn today, you know, and you'll be a pro in no time.
I will. Where can people find out about you, your podcasts? What can people do?
Okay. So people can do this. Well, I have a stand-up comedy special called Appealing to the Mainstream, and it's on Amazon. And if you have Amazon Prime, you can see it for free. And yes. Check that out if you want. That's something you can do. There's also a YouTube channel, youtube.com/Brent Weinbach, and there's a lot of videos on there. You can do that. There's a few different podcasts. I mean, there's a podcast I do about video game music from the third and fourth generation. That's called the Legacy Music Hour. But also I do a podcast with my friend Doug Lusenhop called The Poundcast. And that's on, you know, you can get that wherever you can find podcasts. There's another podcast I do called Pointed Questions. But anyway, whatever. I mean, I can go on and on with all these different podcasts. But yeah, that's basically it, you know. Twitter is Brent Weinbach. Instagram is Brent Weinbach Comedy.
Yeah.
Facebook, whatever, you know. Get them all. Collect them all.
Well, thank you, Brent.
Thank you. It's taking over my dreams, waking me out of my sleep.
I think I'm coming apart. The Margaret Show is an Erios production with editing by Tracy Levy and original music by Garrison Starr. Never miss an episode of The Margaret Show. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. I don't know where to start. Coming out of the dark.
Erios.
Powered by Acast.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.